Okay, there is a shocking Gemara here in Maseches Makos, and it comes up a couple places in the Masechta where the Gemara talks about hitting children. A kid is not learning, both a father hitting a child, a Rebbe hitting a child. So I thought maybe we'd spend the day discussing the Torah view on spanking. Especially it's a very hot topic now in the press. Adrian Peterson and he's the football player that was what do they call it, with a stick or something, he hit his kid. A switch. Yeah, I don't know. So apparently it was like a 4-year-old kid or something that he really? That's what he used? Wow, that's what a switch is. Okay, so yes, I can see why it's somewhat controversial, and all the interviews that they're doing now with other athletes who grew up in the South, you know, in African American families in the South, they say, "What do you mean? That's minigav asein biyodenu. That's what we do. That's how we discipline our children. That's how we keep our children in line. It works for all those years, and we're tough disciplinarians." And this is what we do. It's not abuse at all. So what does the Torah have to say about that? Does the Torah view it as abuse? Is it an effective way of being mechanech children when they do something wrong? How wrong? How old? Who can it? The father, the Rebbe. So there's a startling Gemara over here. Now, most of what I'm going to tell you, I got from our makomos that were put together by Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, who was my classmate in Rav Shechter Shir many years ago. And he is the rabbi of the Boca Raton Synagogue in Boca Raton, Florida. Very, very good rabbi, an excellent rabbi. And he put together a beautiful packet of Marum Makomos on this topic. The only Marum Makom that he didn't have was the Gemara Makos. I couldn't believe he didn't have the Gemara Makos in the packet, but he had everything else. He found things that I never in a million years would have been able to find. So most of the Marum Makomos I'm going to quote are from there, and a couple of more that I'm adding in from, again, from our Gemara Makos and from the Sefer that recently came out called L'Chanich B'Simcha by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein wrote a Sefer about Chinuch, about the proper way to be Mechanich children, both in terms of parents and in terms of Rebbeim. And when I went to visit him in Eretz Yisrael, he said, "What can I give you that you don't already have? What Sefer can I give you of mine that you don't already have?" I said, "I have all the Chashuke Chemez and Varevna. You don't have to give me anything, it's okay." And he said, No, I have this one." And he takes out the Sefer L'Chanich B'Simcha. So I said to him, "Oh, you wrote a sefer about chinuch?" He said, "No, I wrote a sefer about lechanich besimcha." So you can already see where he's going to come down on hitting kids. It's all about simcha. It's all about encouragement. It's all about positive. That's his whole personality. His whole mahus is radiating positivity. So what does our Gemara say? Let's start at the beginning. Our Gemara it starts with the Mishnah and Daf Chesam Rav. The Mishnah and Daf Chesam Rav tells us about going to Golos. That if a person kills someone b'shogeg, they go to Golos. You're going. The Torah says you're going out. You're chopping wood in the forest. A piece of wood flies off of the tree, or the blade flies off of the axe. Machlokas Tanaim, which exactly the Torah is talking about, happens, and it goes and it kills someone. You run to an ir miklat. You run to Golos. That is the halacha. What if, though, you weren't just stomp chopping wood, you were doing a mitzvah, and in the context of doing a mitzvah, you killed somebody? So then the Mishnah says you don't go to Golos. What's an example of doing a mitzvah, doing something that's not a dvar reshus? So the Mishnah says, Yotza ha'av hamake espino, va'arav harodes talmido, ushliach beizdin. Three examples of doing a mitzvah where you accidentally kill someone and then you're not going to go to Golos. If you're a father hitting a kid and you accidentally kill him, a Rebbe hitting a student and you accidentally kill him, or a Shliach Beis Din, the guy whose job it is to whip people in Beis Din. The Gemara toward the end of the Masechta says, who do we hire for the job of doing the whipping in Beis Din? We hire someone to Machlokas Tanaim. Either we hire someone with not too many brains, but a lot of strength, or the other opinion is, no, the opposite. Someone with not too much strength, but a lot of brains. We need someone with a lot of seichel. If you see that you're about to kill him, stop. If he says, whatever, I'm not going to get political now, I can't breathe or whatever, but if you see that he's about to die, so then you have to stop. The only people that could do the hitting are people that have a lot of seichel and not too much strength. You don't want to kill him. But let's say you accidentally do kill him. You're whipping him in Beis Din. You're doing your job, mitzvah. So then you don't go to Golos. Those are the three examples. So says the Gemara, wait a second. How do we know that if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't go to Golos? Because the case that the Torah gives that you do go to Golos is where you're chopping wood in a forest. And chopping wood is not a mitzvah. So whenever you would go to Golis, it must be a case that's similar to the case of the Torah, where you're not doing a mitzvah. Frek the Gemara, chopping wood's not a mitzvah? What if you're chopping wood for a sukkah? Isn't that a mitzvah? How do you know that the case the Torah gives is where you're not doing a mitzvah? Maybe the case that the Torah gives of chopping wood is where you're chopping wood for a sukkah and you are doing a mitzvah. Answers Gemara, no. Kivan de matzah chot aveinu chotev. Since if you were to go to the forest and there would be like all the wood would be pre-chopped, would you have any requirement to chop the wood? No, you would just build your sukkah. So that tells you that chopping wood is not a mitzvah. So the definition of a mitzvah is something that even if it were done already, you would still have to do it yourself. That's the definition of a mitzvah. Chopping wood for a sukkah is not a mitzvah because if it were done already, you'd have no requirement to do it yourself. So ask the Gemara, oh yeah? Well then how come hitting a kid is considered a mitzvah? Let's say the kid were learning already. Would you have any requirement to hit the kid? L'chora not. Right? If you're a Rebbe and you're trying to teach the kid Torah and the kid doesn't want to learn, so then you hit him. What if he does want to learn and he's learning beautifully? So you have a mitzvah to hit him? So the Gemara says, probably not. So hitting the kid shouldn't be considered a mitzvah. So answers the Gemara, nah, it's still a mitzvah to hit him. Even if he's learning. It's good for him. It builds character. Yasser bin chav yanichechav yitin ma'adanim l'navshecha. The Gemara says about 7 lines from the bottom page on Chesem and Aleph. Hasam afal gav degamir. Even if he's learning, mitzvah. Still a mitzvah to hit him. Tichsiv, because the pasuk says, quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Yaser bincha v'yinichecha, if you hit your kid, he will give you nachas, v'yitein ma'adanim l'nafshecha, and he will give delight to your soul. Meaning, which kids are you going to get nachas from? The kids that you beat the gesundheit out of. Those are the kids that you're going to get nachas from. That's what the Gemara says. And even if he is learning, even if he is doing nicely. So that's a pretty startling comment, no? That if he is learning, you should hit him. It's a startling enough comment that when he's not learning, you should hit him. Our modern sensibilities are already shaken by that. But that when he is learning, that you should hit him. I tell the story, I think I may have mentioned to you last week or whenever it was, that one of my friends, there used to be a Rebbe in a certain yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael that I may or may not have learned that was a very excitable guy. And one of the, you know, he was a wild man. He's long since retired. He's still a wild man. But he was a wild man. When he would say shir, he would like pick up a shtender and throw it out the window if you said a bad svar. Like, he was just a wild, you know, just... Oh, he was a raging fire. When I was there, he was already retired. But he'd come back and he would say Shir Klali once in a while. And he would pace up and, you know, up and down, back and forth on the bima like, you know, like there was fire coming out of him. So one of my chaverim was a little older than me. He used to be in his shir. And he said that he was once sitting learning his shir. And the Rebbe came over and smacked him across the face. And he said, what did I do? I was looking inside. And he said, yeah, but that's for all the times that you weren't looking inside. So he passed him like this Gemara, like straight, like this Gemara, that yeah, that's no problem that you're allowed to. So that's one Gemara. That's one Gemara. Now, the truth is, not just one Gemara. There are lots of psukim that indicate that hitting children is an appropriate thing to do. Most of the pasuk that the Gemara just quoted here, but all over Mishlei. Pasuk of Mishlei, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk of Dalet. Chosech shifto, sone vino. If someone withholds the rod, doesn't hit his kid, it's because he hates his child. Doesn't hit his kid? Because he hates his child, says the Malbim, yeah. Because why does a father not want to punish his child? Because it's very unpleasant. It's much easier to just, you know, let him do what he does and, you know, not create a scene, not create any sort of tension. Not have to deal with that. Just let him do what he does. Just let him do whatever he wants. Yeah, but you're killing the kid. You're making yourself feel good because you're not, you know, you're just giving him candy. So you're making yourself feel really good, but it's not doing any favors for the kid. So it's son even know. A person who withholds the rod is son even know. That's how the Malbim explains. But it talks about shivto, the rod. Sounds like it's about hitting. Mishlei perik yotas pasuk yotches. Yaser bincha kiyesh tikva. You should discipline your son because there's hope. Meaning, if you think that he could be something one day, make sure you discipline him now so that he will be something one day. Because if you don't discipline him, he will never be anything. Don't be swayed by anything that he tells you. Don't be swayed by any of his of his protests or anything like that. Pasuk Mishlei Perchav Beis Pasuk Tezvav. Ivelas Kshura Belev Na'ar Shevet Musar Yarchikena Mimenu. Foolishness, stupidity is in the heart of a child, and the only way to get it out of him is Shevet Musar Yarchikena Mimenu. It's the rod of discipline that will beat the foolishness out of the kid. So it's only when you beat the kid that you're going to beat the foolishness out of him. Mishlei Perchav Gimel Pasuk Yud Gimel. Al timna minar musar. Don't withhold discipline from a child. Ki sakenu vashevet lo yamus. If you hit him with a rod, he will not die. Only if you hit him with the rod, he will not die. Otherwise, his soul is going to die a spiritual death, because then you're not disciplining him properly. And then we have the pasuk that our Gemara quotes, Mishlei Perchav Tes, Pasuk Tesvav. Shevet v'tochachas yitem chachma. Hitting with the rod and giving musar will make him wise. Yaser bin chav, the pasuk goes on a little later. Yaser bin chav yinichachav yitem madanim linafshecha. Discipline your son and he'll give you peace. He'll give pleasures to your soul. So far, what do we have? We have a Gemara Makos, sounds like it's very much in favor of hitting children. We have lots of psukim from the wisest of all men, from Shlomo HaMelech. Sounds like very much in favor of hitting children. So what we need to do is find out, first of all, are there any more Gemaras that tell us one way or the other? And then once we have all the Gemaras, we have to figure out, what does the Halacha say? And if the Halacha turns out to be something... then once we know what the Halacha says, we'll say, well, what do the child psychologists say in terms of what kind of effect it has on children nowadays? And if there's a conflict between the advice that the Gemara and the Halacha gives and the advice that all the child psychologists give, question is, how do you deal with that conflict? In general, when you have conflicts of this sort, there are several ways to deal with it. One way to deal with it is saying they're all apikorsim and we have to listen to the Gemara. The other way to deal with it is saying, no, we're misunderstanding the Gemara. The Gemara then, we're misunderstanding the Pesukim. What it means, beat him with the rod of Musar, it means, I don't know, make nice, I don't know, it means something else.
Beat him spiritually.
Right, beat him spiritually. And a third way to deal with it is not to say that the psychologists are all a bunch of apikorsim, nor to say that we're all misunderstanding the Gemara. Maybe the psychologists are right, and we understand the Gemara correctly, but maybe circumstances have changed. Maybe there's something different. Maybe there are extenuating circumstances nowadays, or maybe the Gemara is speaking in a more limited type of circumstance, which we no longer have. So three or four basic ways to deal with that kind of conflict, but first we have to see if there is a conflict. So first, so far, what we've seen is psukim. We know what Shlomo HaMelech thinks about hitting kids, and we know what the Gemara Makos, based on Shlomo HaMelech, thinks about hitting kids. Says the Gemara in Ksubis Dav Nun Amar Aleph, Amrav Yitzchak, Bu'usha Hiskinu. They made a takana in a town called Usha. They made several takanas in Usha, and the Gemara in Ksubis Dav Nun goes through all of the takanas Usha. The most famous of the takanas Usha, by the way, is how much money you're allowed to spend on the mitzvah. HaMevazriz Ali Vazriz Yosu Michomash. You're not allowed to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. But that's not the takana we're focused on today. Bu'usha Hiskinu, She'adam Isgalgal Im Beno At Shtei Mesrei Shana. A person should have patience with his son if his son is not behaving himself until the kid is 12 years old. Rashi says in Mesariv Mililmod, if he refuses to learn, Igal Glimo Benachas, Ubidvarim Rachim, speak softly to him, don't be too rough on him, till 12, it's okay. Not every child is a biggest masmid before his 12th birthday. Oh, but once he hits that big 1-2, once he hits the age of 12, Mikan Ve'elach, you make his life miserable, says Rashi. Whoa. To hit him with a strap and withhold meals from him, withhold bread from him. Yikes. Okay, so Gemara Ksuvos we put squarely in the column of in favor of hitting, but with a limit, only after the age of 12. Sounds like that's what it sounds like. Only after the age of 12, which is counterintuitive. Why? Yeah. So. Well, it's talking about teaching your child Torah, it sounds like. So probably it's talking about a boy. Right, but you have to teach him. You have a responsibility to teach him Torah, so you have to make sure that he learns. And the best way to make sure that he learns, guys, can you just? All right, it's a little lower. It's just harder to scream over him. There is another Gemara. Gemara Maseches Moed Katan. Amsa Dvei Rabbi Chazisa Lehu Gavra Dava Machi Lebeno Gadol. On the flip side, so the Gemara Ksuva sounds like if he's older, it's better to hit him. If he's younger, don't hit him. Gemara Maseches Moed Katan Dav Yizayin Amralv says that the Amsa Dvei Rabbi saw, the Rebbe's maidservant saw a guy that was beating up his older son. Amra, and she said, Lavi Yehu Gavra B'Shamta. You should be in Shamta, you should be in Cherim. Why? What are you violating? So I would have said you're violating Lo Yosef Pen Yosef, that you're not allowed to hit your fellow Jew. No, that's not what you're violating. You're violating Lifnei Iver Lo Siten Michshol. You're violating Lifnei Iver. Why is it Lifnei Iver? Because the kid is going to turn around and slug you. You know, the kid, you're beating up an older kid. You try to hit an older kid, he'll turn around, he'll punch you in the face, and you're his father, and that's terrible if he does that. It's an daraisa for him to do. He's chayv misa if he does that to you, and you're causing him to do it by hitting an older kid. That's what the Gemara says. Says Rashi, "Dekivan de gadol hu shemem vayit baviv vavle yu machshilo." He's a gadol, he's older, he's going to kick you, and then it will be your fault for making him do that. One more Gemara. So the Gemara Moed Katan sounds like an older kid is worse. Younger kid, okay. It's not a violation. Older kid, it's only asur mishum lifnei iver. But what also emerges from this Gemara is, now what age is older? What age is that it's going to be lifnei iver? So, okay, we don't know yet. We'll see. The Gemara does give an age. The Gemara says 22, 24. Older, much older. It's going to be lifnei iver. But the point is not the age per se. What the point is that when he gets to the point where he's not just going to take it, and he's going to violate an Avera because of the beating, if he will rebel, he will violate an Avera like hitting his father back, or cursing his father, or something like that, l'chora, it would be usher to hit the child to lifnei iver. Right? So although the Gemara, but all the Gemaras we've seen so far, seem to be in favor of hitting the kid, what emerges from the Gemara are certain limitations. First, Gemara in Ksuvis seems to say that when he's very young, it's not going to help. It's not going to help him learn. What's more effective is to be medaber benachas. And then we have the Gemara Moed Katan that at a certain age, whenever he's going to rebel and he's going to fight you back, it's going to be usher to hit him. And then we have a Gemara Bab Basra Daf Chafal Faminal. Omrei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Rav says to Shmuel Bar Shilas, Ad shis lo takve. Until the age of 6, don't start teaching a child Torah. Don't have him be in a yeshiva. He's not ready to be a student before the age of 6. Tell a child under the age of 6, he has to sit there and listen to a teacher lecture. He can't. He's not able to. Mikan ve'elch kabel. But from then on, and this is a Gemara about teaching students Torah. So it's not about a father, it's more about a teacher, more about a Rebbe. After the age of 6, he could be a student, and stuff him with as much Torah knowledge as he can, even against his will, even when he says, I just want to go play. No, too bad. Learn more and more and more and more. Just stuff him and stuff him and stuff him. Why? Because at that age, the mind is very receptive, and there's something called Girsa Diyankasa, things that people learn when they're young, that it sticks in the mind much, much better. I always tell the story Rabbi Yaakov Haber told me once, not the Rabbi Yaakov Haber who was rabbi in Muncie and is related to Rav Scheinberg, Rabbi Yaakov Haber from YU, who lives in Israel now. I'm not sure where he's teaching. Very fine, fine, wonderful person in Talmud Chacham. Told me that when Talmidim were going over Rav Schechter's notes on, I think it was on Maseches Brachos or something, and they were going over his notes and trying to put it together for publication, they noticed that every time he had a ha'ara, he had something to add into his notes. Rav Schechter always was quoting Chazanish and Taros. He was always quoting Chazanish and Taros. Such a strange source, especially learning Brachos. What is Chazanish and Taros? Why is he always quoting Chazanish and Taros? It's kilu like that was all he was learning at the time. So someone asked him, why the Chazanish and Taros? Rav Schechter said that when he was a child, his father was a rabbi in Philadelphia, and there was a fellow that davened in his father's shul who was not so so learned, but had grown up, happened to be this fellow, had grown up in the same town in Europe that the Chazon Ish was. And this fellow was a childhood friend of the Chazon Ish. And this fellow, living in Philadelphia, as he got older, got sick, and he wrote a letter to his childhood friend, to the Chazon Ish. Do me a favor, be mispalled for me. Your old buddy from the playground, whatever. He wrote a letter to the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish sends him back a letter. I'm going to be mispalled for you, and here's a copy of my sefer, my newest sefer. And it was a Chazon Ish on Taurus. The guy didn't know which way to hold the sefer. He didn't know how to hold what a Chazon Ish on Taurus is going to do. So what do? You have a sefer, you don't know how to learn it. So you give it to the rabbi. So Rav Shech said, my father was a very simple rabbi. He was a Shas and Shulchan Aruch kind of Jew. He didn't have a million different svarim. So he didn't have that much to entertain me when I was young. We had a Shas, we had a Shulchan Aruch, you know, Tanakh, you know, there wasn't that much around the house to entertain me. So he came home one day with the Chazon Ish and Taurus. So I learned up the Chazon Ish and Taurus. That was my, so he said it was my Girsa D'Yankisa. I think Rav Shechter's family moved from Philadelphia when he was like 13. So, I don't know when he was learning Chazon Ish and Taurus. So he said, that's my Girsa D'Yankisa. It's what I learned when I'm very young. So that's what stuck with me. So that's why I know the Chazon Ish and Taurus very well. It's not, that's not so usual. The point I'm trying to make is that when a person is young, there are certain things that will stick. Now, when you're older, it will be in one ear out the other, and when you're young, it will stick. So when a child is young, he's past the age of six, he's ready to learn. Learn and learn and learn and give him whatever you can. But, says the Gemara, when you hit a child to discipline him, to get him to learn, sounds like we're talking about a child who's a little bit over the age of six. So when you do hit him to get him to learn, sounds like it's a given that that's what you're going to do. Only with a shoelace. Don't hit him with a whip, with a switch. Only with a shoelace. I mean, it can't hurt too much. The curry curry, and if he learns, it's great. If that's what gets him going, good job. The low curry, and if he doesn't learn, then he should be. You should make sure he gets a good chevre. Let him hang out with friends who are learning. He'll want to do whatever his friends are doing. So if his friends are learning, it will make him learn. Right, that's what it makes sound like, right. But shoelace, not heavy whipping. And instead of moving on to heavy whipping, just make sure that he just... That's a good question.
Because like it probably, I think it hurts less, but it's a further item. So I feel like it's in a way that's
yeah. Long. Probably shoelace is less than a hand.
In terms of pain, but like you're using an item instead of just like your hands, like it's more like.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I don't know. So what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? In Yeridaya, once again we have Shulchan Aruch right behind me. Might as well use them. In Yeridaya, oh, you got it already. Oh wow. You can look on with me. Reish Mem Sivchav. You got it? Okay. Yeridaya Simin Reish Mem Sivchav says the Shulchan Aruch, Hamakil Lebno Gadol Hayu Minadinoso. If anyone hits an older child, they put him in Cherim. Shariyover Lifnei Ivar L'Sitin Michshol, because he's violating Lifnei Ivar L'Sitin Michshol. V'lo Mikri Gadol Davar Zer Rak Acher Chav Beis Shana O Chav Dalet Shana. But Gadol is defined as 22 or 24 years old. Some say 22, some say 24. Wow. Good. So that is, so Shulchan Aruch is essentially paskening straight up like the Gemara says, that the Amsad Dvei Rebbe put the guy in Cherim who was sitting, is telling us that the Amsad Dvei Rebbe wasn't Stam, she knew what she was talking about, and that it's really a violation of the Neiver, we actually pasken this way. In Reish Mem Hei Sif Yud, Shulchan Aruch writes, Reish Mem Hei Sif Yud, says the Shulchan Aruch, Lo yaka oso hamalamed makas oyev musar achzori lo b'shotim lo b'makel elaberetzu a katana. Like this Gemara Bava Basra. If you're a Rebbe, you have to hit, but don't hit with anything that will hurt too much. A retzu a katana, a small lace, a small strap should be used to hit. Nothing too much. Nothing more than that. That's what Shulchan Aruch paskins. Good. So, and one last source in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tav Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Yud Ches, in Or Chaim, Shulchan Aruch writes, Shetzorach Lizar Mi Yudzayin V'Tamaz Atisha Ba'av, Shelo Leilich Yichidi Midal Shos Atashos, V'lo Yakwa Talmidim B'yam Mehem. Don't hit Talmidim during the 3 weeks, because it's a particularly dangerous time, So you don't want to mess around with physical punishment because it's a very dangerous time. Specifies Talmidim, because that's yeah, specifies Talmidim. But it's same is true, all the poskim say over there, for a parent also. It's a parent also. That during that time, we don't hit. That we don't hit during that time. So bottom line is, if you just learned all these Gemaras and what the Shulchan Aruch says, Judaism in favor of spanking or not in favor of spanking? Sounds like it's very much in favor. Every Gemara says something about hitting, with some limitations. Don't hit him if he's going to hit you back. Don't hit him if he's too young. Don't hit him if he's too old, whatever. But don't hit him too hard, exactly. The what? Oh, where to hit, it doesn't say. Right, that's interesting also. It doesn't say on the hand, on the back. It's also interesting. Shulchan Aruch may say something, actually. It may say, not Al Gabo, I think.
It's like, you need a broad area, basically. Like, you can only imagine, like, you know, the back of the...
Yeah, I think it does say. I think it actually does say. Right. I'm not sure. Okay. So now let's take a look at what the psychologists say. So it seems that there's pretty much unanimity of opinion in terms of what spanking and hitting does for children. There was a study done. And again, these marmakomos I never would have found without Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg. In Time Magazine, June 28th, 2011, George Holden, a professor of psychology at Southern Methodist University, published a lot of books on parenting and child development. He went to daycare centers in Dallas to recruit parents, and all he told them was that he wanted to collect data about naturally occurring parent-child interactions. Meaning, he wanted to put not even a video, audio equipment in the home so that he could eavesdrop on parent-child interactions. Now, what he was really looking for was he wanted to do a study on yelling, on how much of an impact yelling has and what kind of an impact yelling has on children. He was not out to study spanking. And every parent in the study agreed to be in the study, and the only parents that were disqualified from the study were the very, very few, and there were very few, that said that I never, ever, ever yell. Anyone who said that they never, ever yell, either he disqualified them because they weren't going to be much help in the study about yelling, or he didn't believe them, so they're liars anyway, so whatever. He disqualified them from the study. Only those who said I never, ever yell. So the vast majority were just normal parents who sometimes yell. He did not say a word about spanking, hitting, anything. He analyzed the data collected from 37 families, 36 mothers, one father. All of them had at least 36 hours of audio in 6 days of the study. And the researchers were listening to the audio, and they kept hearing whack and thud and crying. They heard the sounds of spanking. You know, and a lot of times, minutes long crying afterwards. So what he had on his hand was a study on spanking and what kind of effect that had. Now, one thing he discovered is that people didn't think it was a problem. Parents didn't think it was an issue. They didn't hesitate to do it. And in fact, in the 90s, he did a research that showed that 70% of college-educated women spanked their children. And up to 90% of other studies said up to 90% of parents will punish their children in some physical way. And what he found is that children who are spanked regularly are more likely to have behavioral problems that escalate and become antisocial later on. They're also at greater risk for anxiety, depression, and things like that. And also a greater risk for practicing domestic violence themselves, to engage in domestic violence themselves, and to abuse children as adults themselves. The mothers and fathers who do the spanking believe it's effective, but the research all says that it's not. Meaning, it's effective in a certain sense. In the immediate aftermath, it's effective. The kid is eating the cookies that you're saving for the guests or whatever. You spank him, he stops eating the cookies. But he does not become a more well-behaved child. He just knows to look both ways before taking the cookie next time. That's what the research finds. Furthermore, in a CNN Health article, July 23rd, 2014, they quote a 2010 study published in Pediatrics, found that frequent more than twice in the previous month spanking, when a child, meaning if a parent spanks a child more than twice a month, when a child was 3 years old, was linked to an increased risk for higher levels of child aggression when the child was five. So the kid that's not behaving in preschool when he's five could very well be because he was spanked when he was three. And the irony is that the more a parent physically punishes his child for lack of self-control, the less self-control the child will have. They learn how to be controlled by external forces rather than controlling themselves. Meaning if a parent could somehow motivate a child to build up willpower to control themselves, then they'll be developing a lifelong skill. But if you motivate a child with an external force, like by the rod, the whip, or whatever, well, then they're not developing a lifelong skill. What they're learning is not to develop anything from within themselves, but to be controlled from outside environments. And therefore, when the boss isn't looking, when they're adults and the boss isn't looking, they're more likely to, you know, change some numbers here and there, to skim a little off the top, to be more indulgent, self-indulgent. There is a professor at University of Texas at Austin, Elizabeth Gershoff, studied corporal punishment for 15 years. And she says, and I quote, "There's no study that I've ever done that's found a positive consequence of spanking. Most of us will stop what we're doing if somebody hits us, but that doesn't mean we've learned why somebody hit us or what we should be doing instead, which is the real motive behind discipline." Meaning discipline is supposed to teach the child why they're being disciplined, what they've done wrong, and how to behave better in the future. This accomplishes neither. So now we've got a problem. Because we've got Chazal telling us that it's really a good idea. We've got psychologists telling us it's really a bad idea and that it could be damaging our children in a very significant way. So how do we deal with it? So one way to deal with it is the way Rav Dessler writes in Michtam Eliyahu. Rav Dessler writes that a child is not going to be to learn to be aggressive when the parent hits the child, because the child knows that a parent is a parent and he's a child and he's not a parent, and therefore he can't act that way. He can't hit somebody else because he's not a parent and he knows his place. And in the traditional Jewish family, there was such reverence and awe for the father that he recognized them for the mother, that he recognized the father and the mother as the authority figures, and he's not the authority figure. So don't worry, it's not going to lead to any negative outcome, provided that you have a proper family structure where the father and the mother are completely respected by the children. Buddy says, the problem is, nowadays every parent wants to be a buddy with their kid. They want to be friends with their kids. So if you can be friends with the kid and you hit the kid, so the kid's going to learn, he can hit his friends. So says, that's the problem. That it's all about the children being independent and the children. So that's where all the problems come from. So all the psychologists that tell you that it's bad within their framework of destroying the whole family hierarchy. But within our framework of how family is supposed to work, it wouldn't be bad. So he says, we reject the psychologists, we reject their family structure, what they suggest a family should look like, and we go with a certain clear authority in the family, and then you can hit, again, within the confines of what Chazal say, but then you're supposed to, and it's a mitzvah, and it's appropriate. So clearly Rav Dessler very much on the side of forget about what the psychologists say, let's focus on what we need to be doing based on what Chazal based on what Chazal tell us.
Studies by the psychologist, they're referring to like spanking, like hand, or like other things. But what we were saying before was saying that like you should never use anything more than the shoelace, which is significant.
The thing, if the shoelace is less than a hand, maybe the psychologist wouldn't have problems with the shoelace either.
Because it might, that small spanking might not lead to those behaviors.
So maybe. The sense that you get though is that anything that's physically painful. You know?
I don't know, if it's like, I think there would be a difference between like a lot of pain and like a stroll, like sort of like a shock, like electric therapy sort of thing.
Right, a kid runs into the street. 3-year-old kid runs into a busy street. Can you take his hand and go like that? Not even leave a mark, just go like that on his hand? So most people would have no problem with that, I think. Because he just did something very, very dangerous. And he needs to know instantly that that is really bad. You think it helps the parent more than it helps the kid? I don't know. I mean, I would think that he would learn, if a parent never ever lays a finger on him, and the kid does something dangerous, so he'll know, okay, that must have been really bad. Because my parent, now, the truth is, if a parent never ever yells, and the parent yells when the kid goes into the street, so that would probably accomplish the same thing. Meaning something that would be like for a major event, for a major concern, you know, maybe. All right, but again, let's stick with the sources. So that's what Rav Dessler says. In the Sefer Evan Shlema, the Vilna Gaon, he says, Mishanimna miliyasir lahakos espino al davar sharay liyasir. If someone withholds and does not hit his kid when he deserves and he should be hit, hareza sone espino, you hate your child. If you really loved him, you'd punish him. Because it's the only way he's ever going to learn, it's the only way he's ever going to be a good person when he grows up. He says, same is true with daughters. But he says, kishamaka espino lo yake oso makas oyev, derech kas ala avar. When you hit a child, never ever hit him in an angry way for what he has done. It's always future oriented. It's always, you always have to think, if this hitting is going to stop him from doing it in the future, that's why I'm hitting him, not for what he has done in the past. That's not my business to punish him for what he's done in the past by hitting him. I don't give malchus like a Beis Din does. I'm here to make sure that in the future he behaves himself. And says the Gra, ukesheroa sheraba chamaso alav aloyako so klal beisahi. If you are angry, never ever hit when you're angry. Because hitting the way Chazal, and now Chazal didn't say this, but perhaps they didn't need to say this. This jumps out of the Psukim. The Psukim tell us if you love your child, you hit it, which means that the hitting has to come from a place of love, not a place of anger. And if the hitting is coming from a place of anger, then you've got a problem. In fact, in the Sefer L'chanech B'Simcha, it says that Rav Steinman was asked at a chinuch discussion about a Rebbe in a Talmud Torah that was hitting that every once in a while would hit the children. A very good Rebbe, very effective Rebbe, every once in a while would hit the children. And Rav Steinman said they should fire him. And some of the parents who liked the Rebbe very much tried to defend the Rebbe and said, no, he doesn't do it b'shita. It's just once in a while when he gets really angry, when they really get on his nerves, only once in a while. That's when he says, if he doesn't do it b'shita, then definitely fire him. If he's doing it b'shita, then you could talk to him and tell him, you know, this isn't the right shita. This isn't the right thing to do. But if he's doing it because he gets angry, so he's puzzled to be a Rebbe in the first place. That's not how one should react when they get angry. So never out of anger. Ravad Yosef, in Yalkut Yosef, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, quoting from Ravadi, in Hilchus Kibbut Aveim, in Yalkut Yosef, writes a couple of more exceptions. Im yesh lachos shema katon yatris kenegdo b'dibur b'maisa. If the child's going to react to you, b'dibur b'maisa, verbally or physically, ein lachos gam ben katon, don't hit him even if he's young. So what does he do? He takes the Gemara and says, don't hit the 22-year-old because he'll turn around and slug you. And says, and don't hit the 5-year-old because he'll turn around and curse you. Or he'll turn around and kick you. Meaning, in the times of the Gemara, and you're going back to the what changed issue. In times of the Gemara, maybe people were makabel. A 15-year-old was makabel. And he wasn't going to do anything if you hit him. But nowadays, the kid will say, I hate you. Or we'll curse you out. Or we'll kick you. Or we'll start swinging. Well, then it's lifneiva for the parent to hit a child. No matter how young. Ubekolofen. Katan pachos mi ben chameshanim ein lakoso klal al shum davar. Vamakeo areyuchote. Under 5, never ever hit him. Why? What's that based on? The Gemara says before the kid is 6, he can't learn Torah yet. So don't hit him, just be medaber benachas or whatever. And then when he's 6, then you have to start teaching him. And then he says, Yesh Misha Omer, Ravadia continuing. There are those that say that even if the kid is listening, it's good to find a reason to hit him once in a while to build character. Based on Gemara in Makos, that even when the kid is learning, Ladina in the smochel ze shekalamakes benoshlo tzarich godol avono means so. La lacha, we cannot rely on that because anyone who hits his kid unnecessarily, godol avono means so. His sin is too great for him to bear the burden of that sin, so you need to err on the side of caution. So what does Rav Avadia say? In theory, yeah, Chazal were in favor of hitting. In practice, never really happens. Because in practice, it's funny, because Rav Avadia, one of his things was he would smack everybody. But it was a playful smack. When you'd come together, like prime ministers would come and he'd smack them across the face. Like that was like, you know he loved you when he'd give you the smack. It was his thing. No one knows where it came from or why he did it. Probably just because he could. I don't know. But he says, in practice, we don't do it. Psychologist versus the Gemara? Yeah, the Gemara was saying, if the kid is totally obedient, and he's not going to take it the wrong way, and he's not going to turn around and smack you, and it's only going to be about helping him for the future, and, blah, blah, blah. And he's just the right age, and so it never really happens. Meaning the Gemara's right, it's just that we never have a case where the Gemara could apply. One or two more things just quickly. Rav Volbi is in Ali Shur. Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Reish Samach Aleph. Very, very strongly rejects the idea of hitting a child. And he says, yeah, the psukim talk about shevet, talk about the rod. There are two shevatim. There's a shevet musar and a shevet of nachas. He says the shevet musar, you could use one or the other, but the shevet of ava and of nachas works a lot better than the shevet of musar. And he says the whole key of chinuch is to be positive. And it helps a lot more to reward than it does to punish, etc. In fact, Ravalbi writes, a parent who hits even a 3-year-old is in violation of Lifnei Iver, because nowadays a 3-year-old will turn around and will react harshly. And then he gives another reason. In Zrio Binyan Bechinuch, Ravalbi gives another reason why it doesn't apply nowadays. He said, it used to be children had a more positive self-image and were not so badly damaged by a few blows. Children are much less secure nowadays than they used to be. And what do we say? Anxiety, depression. Why does it happen? Because he has no sense of self. And when you hit him, it shatters him. So the psychologists are right. Nowadays, children have a different makeup than they used to have in the times of Chazal. So that's Ravolbi's basic approach. And in fact, Rav Ben-Zion Soroskin, a psychologist, suggests that the reason children don't have the same self, not only do they not have the same self-image, he says they also don't have the same relationship with their parents. It used to be there was so much love in the house and so much time that was spent with the parents and children together that it was understood that when the child got spanked that the parent didn't hate him and the parent didn't, and the child knew how to receive it. Nowadays, father comes home from work. What is it? The whole day, all the mother's yelling is, wait till your father comes home. And then the father comes home from work, and the first thing he's got to do is spank his kid. Where's the love? Where's the positive? Where's the... You know, the whole basis has to be in something positive in love. And you can't have the basis in love if that's the whole extent of their of their relationship. And also, he suggests that parents are more easily disappointed by their children. It used to be that a parent could accept that a child would be average intelligence. Nowadays, you can't say that to a parent, that a kid is average. He's got to be super. So the level where he gets to the point where he gets angry and gets disappointed with the child happens much quicker than it should. And therefore, it seems that the overwhelming majority of the poskim nowadays, and certainly Rav Zilberstein in his Sefer, L'chanich B'simcha, is very strong about this also, say that if one is ever going to hit a child, it has to be done only with the calmest demeanor, knowing that it's going to help the child for the future, knowing that the child's not going to turn around and get angry at the parent and yell something or hit the parent. It would be such rare circumstances, extraordinarily rare circumstances. And again, like Rav Volbi says, that he would never hit. Rav Volbi quotes that he saw that Rav Elia Lapian told him that he regrets all the times that he ever hit his children when they were young. It was the wrong thing to do, and he feels that that he should never have done so. It seems that even though Chazal are in favor, it seems that Lamaisa, it's really not a good idea, especially not when the parent is angry about something. But there's more to say on the Gemara Makos, but okay, we'll maybe save that for a different time. The Gemara Makos, how to deal with the Gemara Makos. Let me just add one thing, yeah. The Yad Avram on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara Makos over here says he hit him even if he's not behaving, and it's called the Dvar Mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch says that a doctor that kills someone by accident does go to Galus in the course of giving his refuah. So Yad Avram says, what's the difference? Why is the doctor go to Galus? He's doing a mitzvah. So he says, no, because he misdiagnosed. He messed up. So he's not really doing a mitzvah. So it turned out that if a parent is hitting...
Not always a misdiagnosis.
Okay, that's what the Yad Avram suggests, that the doctor messed up in terms of his estimation of what the patient could handle. So, his assessment of what the patient could handle. So if that's the case, then if the parent is misdiagnosing what the child needs, and the parent hits the kid, then it's not called that he's doing the Dvar Mitzvah. Any taka would go to Golis, right? If it's a misdiagnosis of what the child actually needs on a spiritual level. It's just like, physically a misdiagnosis would be, so spiritually also. That's what the Yad Avram seems to say on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's stop there.